Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. It is Thursday, so it must be Thursday. Time for us to do our live broadcast for 13 Reasons Why.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I'm ready tonight.
Today was a long day. I'm tired.
I got here at 4 o'clock, and your car was already in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Not 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah.
And you were already here.
Yeah.
I was here. Coffee was on.
Yep. Nice and hot.
Yeah, it's been
ready to go.
Been a long day.
It's been a long day.
But a good day, so.
But we're excited to talk about these episodes today.
I really am. I like these two sides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so today is tape 5,
right.
which are episodes 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. And we get to talk about Justin again. And I'm excited about our conversation about Justin today.
Right.
And we get to talk about Sherry.
And Sherry.
Right. Justin and Sherry.
Right.
But
Sherry's been sort of a minor character until now.
Has.
And then she becomes this focal point.
She has.
In side B.
And it's exciting because in the background, she's always been there in the
right.
background.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes to the front today. And then that episode ends with the cliffhanger
with
the so far. Yeah. So it's going to be exciting.
I was surprised that he answered the question.
Yes. So, but okay. You know what? Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
All right. So let's pull up our slide, our first slide for the evening. There it is. And so we have 13 reasons why. Cover-ups and denials. And so tape 5, side A.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the first time since this show started,
right.
This is the first time that the program actually starts with a disclaimer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That some of the scenes, some of the depictions may not be, maybe disturbing to some viewers.
Right. Yeah, it's true. This was the first.
Right. And I think that's an indication about where the program's going.
It's getting a little deeper, thicker.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, it's getting more and more. It's getting more and more, I want to say graphic, but it's not that it's so graphic as it's not so much that it's graphic as it is the content is so, it's just more and more intense, more and more right. sensitive.
Well, until now, they've talked about the legal case and what really happened. And you didn't know, well, unless you've watched the whole thing,
right.
you didn't really know what happened.
Right.
Suddenly, now you realize that the consequences of what they've been worried about
right.
are really serious. I mean, people could get into some really serious legal
consequences,
right?
Right.
And so
right.
now we're beginning to understand, wow, I can see why they're trying to keep Clay quiet.
Right.
They're trying to settle him down. Don't get this thing started because the consequences to people could be pretty catastrophic.
Right, right? Absolutely. So far we've been dealing with things like pictures
petty
and
jealousies,
yeah, and those kinds of things,
and breakups, relationship, relational aggression,
right? And not that those things aren't serious,
right.
but they are nothing compared to what we see today
or
saw this episode,
right? Right. Now you're beginning to get an appreciation for
right.
what the real concerns are,
right?
And
right,
they some of these kids do have reason to try to hide some of this stuff.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Or be concerned about it.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So as we're getting more and more serious in this process into what all mm-hmm. sort of led to Hannah making this decision,
right?
We had this disclaimer, and then the show starts with mm-hmm. the end of the school year, end of the right. sophomore school year, and it begins with Hannah talking about her summer,
right.
and in her summer she's talking about how Clay is gone, so she's, she's basically there alone.
She's alone, right.
And so she makes some changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love some of the things that she said during that opening monologue that
right.
she often does. And she gets this haircut, which mm-hmm. is a pretty significant mm-hmm. haircut.
Right.
And she talks about wanting to start the new year as a new person, start fresh. But then at the same time, what I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about this, because we didn't talk about this ahead of time. She's talking about wanting to make all these changes, wanting to make all these adjustments to things. And then she says that she doesn't want to be invisible anymore.
That's right.
That, how does that fit to you in this, from what we've seen so far?
I think what we worry about is people being indifferent to us.
Right.
You know, don't right. either dislike yeah. me or like me, but don't be indifferent.
Right.
And I think that's what she was talking about. She felt it wasn't that people didn't like her. She wasn't worried about that.
Right.
It was that they were, that she was inconsequential.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think that some viewers will check that out and hear that and say, well, she was anything but invisible.
Right.
I mean, she's walking down the hall and people are talking to her. People are, right. you know, some inappropriate things. You know, people are grabbing her and people are doing some of those right. kinds of things. So she was anything but invisible. Mm-hmm. But I don't think she's talking about invisible in that people aren't paying attention to her.
Right.
I think that she means invisible as in, like you said, inconsequential.
Right.
That she didn't really matter to any of them.
She didn't matter to anybody.
Right. right. Mm-hmm. And that...
I think that's what bothered her.
Well, sort of like we started last week, mm-hmm. that's a different kind of invisible.
Right.
That's
right.
a different kind right. of lonely. That's right. how last
lonely.
Week started.
We're talking
right?
about lonely. Right.
But that's a different kind of invisible. The invisible right. of as it relates to value.
Right. And she wanted to look different.
Right.
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 And so she, you know, she starts with her hair and maybe her nails and she does all these things. And in a way, she's trying on different looks.
Right.
And that's what teenagers do.
Mm-hmm.
Your oldest child mm-hmm. tried on a different look one time. But she was, you know, it's like you go into a store and somebody says, can I help you? And say, no, I'm just looking.
Right.
Okay. That's what teenagers do. They're just looking.
Right.
Do I want to be, what do I want to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I fit? What kind
right.
of clothes, hair, makeup, nail polish? What kind of backpack do I want to carry? What kind of clothes do I want to wear? Because that starts to define you.
Right.
Okay. And so this is what she's doing. She's mm-hmm. trying on a new persona.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. We talk about this in our book a lot.
Yeah.
That,
mm-hmm.
you know, students or teenagers, mm-hmm. not just students, but teenagers
right.
will try different things.
Right.
And most of the time, they're temporary. They're just...
Most are temporary.
It's sort of right. like, you know, being in the fitting room, like you said, you know, trying something on.
Don't want blue or black or brown.
Right, right. And you see these things change. And so that's one of the reasons, you know, in the, I think the very first episode that we talked about, some of the things that the one teacher was saying about sort of the
yes.
signs of suicidal risk. And she said, you know, changes in appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Changes in appearance can be a sign that somebody mm-hmm. is depressed mm-hmm. and potentially approaching, you know, some suicidal thoughts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not that's in and of itself is not yeah. anything indicative
right.
because mm-hmm. all teenagers, because my son, he's had longer hair throughout the school year and everything and likes it for when he's playing soccer and everything. And the last day of school, like within an hour of being home, all of it is about a quarter of an inch to a half an inch long.
You
cut it all off. And he's like, I'll just grow it out again. And so now if I went with the 13 reasons why signs of suicidal risk,
right. I mean, be keeping an eye on him.
We need to, mm-hmm. oh boy.
Right.
So we gotta be careful,
no,
but
it's just trying different things. Just looking.
So the idea is that, here she is trying something new. She's
right.
trying to redefine herself. And I think that we do this very often in our lives.
Right.
We think, okay, I need a new job. That's going to start everything over. I need mm-hmm. to move to a new house. That's
right.
going to start move to a new state, a new city.
Mm-hmm.
We think about these kinds of major transition periods as
right.
a way to redefine ourselves. Students do this when they go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I go
oh,
to,
yeah, they do.
When I go to college, I can nobody there
reinvent
knows
myself.
Me.
Right.
Right.
Different hair, different clothes, different, you know, way of talking.
Right.
True.
And while there are those who can pull that off,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't typically happen.
And what parents need to remember is that regardless of how far children go down these paths,
right.
they're going to end up Most kids end up pretty much like their parents.
Right.
The overwhelming majority end up pretty much like their parents did.
For the most part.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
Don't worry about these.
Well, unless you don't like the way that you are.
Right.
And then you're like, no, I don't want my kids anything like me.
That's right.
I want my kids to have a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Noreen.
So the next part, and this is another thing. This is just a episode full of little zingers.
And
the next thing is Mr. Porter. So we get back to the guidance counselor, and I tell you, I get so torn about things that he says, because a lot of what he says is true. He just has horrible timing and horrible delivery, I think. So in this scene in the show, Hannah's father is there talking to him about the poem that was published in the student magazine.
Right.
And Hannah's dad says something to the effect of, you know, she wrote this and whoever wrote this, you know, clearly is thinking about suicide. Yeah. Why didn't you do anything? And he says, well, there's nothing. I don't see anything in here that suggests suicide. And he says, it talks about being lost and drowning. And
right.
He says,
with stones tied to my shoes.
And Mr. Porter says, lots of teens talk about being lost. You're talking to the guy
now
whose daughter wrote that and committed suicide. But, you know, lots of teens talk about being lost.
Right.
Being lost.
No big deal. He just has no, I mean, for a guidance counselor, he has no, you say timing. That would be an appropriate statement to make to somebody, but not to the father of the child who just killed himself.
Right. Yeah. Again, it's a timing issue. Right. It's like, don't, you just don't say that. because again, and that's where I get torn. It's not that it's not true.
Right.
And so what it leaves me with is it leaves me with the impression that he took the class to learn this stuff, but he didn't really take the class about how to work with people and to interact with people.
And to think about where other people happen to be at any particular time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then because of course Hannah's dad's response.
Over and over again. Yeah.
And Hannah's dad's response is, you know, God help them if they come to you.
Right.
And
which is true.
It's a valid statement.
I agree.
And it's just really harsh. But what I think we need to pull from this, and it's sort of repeated a couple of times throughout the different episodes, and it is, you know, people at the school are there to help and to support. Mm-hmm. And we have guidance counselors, and we call them guidance counselors or school counselors. They have school psychologists there. Mm-hmm. Many of those people are very, very helpful.
Right.
Sometimes they're school social workers and all that. Sometimes they're very, very helpful.
Right.
That said, many don't have the opportunity to serve that role in schools.
Right.
You know, they don't have the opportunity to do counseling in schools. And so
they're monitoring tests and moving papers about. And
I don't want to say that they lose those skills or lose those that appreciation, but in a sense, they do.
They do.
You know, it's, you know, if day in and day out, you know, your focus is going through attendance, you know, making sure that students are present, making sure that staff meetings are scheduled and all that kind of stuff, which is a major responsibility for that a lot of guidance counselors take on. And in high school, you know, a lot of guidance counselors spend their time focusing on the transition for students to get to college and making sure they're taking the right classes. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff is great, very important, but they just don't have the opportunity often to serve the role as counselors.
We've worked in schools where the school counselor became an assistant administrator.
Right.
I mean, they were almost clerical tasks. And there's so many skills that they have and could use. And this guy, Porter, you always get the feeling that he's been told to be very careful about what he says because they have this lawsuit looming. Okay.
Right.
And so it's, he can't, even if he had the skills and could do his job, he's sort of hamstrung by this pending lawsuit that the administrators are worried about.
Right. Yeah. So it's very distracting from his, you know, for him to be able to perform what he's wanting to perform. Yeah. And so I can't, you're right. Well, when you look back even to what he says before Hannah commits suicide, he's just off.
He's missing, right.
It's just,
he's always
there's
a little
just
bit
piece
off. Right.
Missing. Mm-hmm. And right. I'm going to go back. I still wish that the first guidance counselor was still there. Yeah. I think things would have been very different. Yeah. The hippie woman.
Yeah, the hippie woman.
That just wanted to make friends. That's all. That's all she wanted to
just
do.
Just be friends.
That's right. So, you know, again, Mr. Porter is challenging. He's a mm-hmm. challenging character. And,
yeah, he really is.
And we're not done with him.
Right.
You know,
there's more to come.
We're going to see, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about, you know, when he was talking to Ryan.
Right.
And Ryan talks about, you know, sucks to be held accountable, doesn't it? And he says, what did you say? And then Ryan just gets up and leave. They throw these little nuggets out right. there and right. stuff. So now one of the, we talked last week. Well, I think just about every week we rave about Clay's parents,
right.
Because Clay's parents are, I mean, his parents are great.
They're the, right.
They're sort of the ideal
most thoughtful,
parents, right?
The most insightful, the yeah. most closely attached.
Right.
And they really understand. They know their son. First
right.
of all, they really know this.
They
kid,
know him,
right?
Yeah.
And they really attend. Mm-hmm. They listen carefully.
Right.
They listen with their heart,
right.
not just their ears.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes. Now we see what we've seen so far is we've seen Hannah's parents.
Right.
Be very emotional.
Afterwards. Right.
And even when Hannah was still alive, you know, you could see some of the closeness between Hannah and her mom and, you know, some of that kind of stuff. But in this episode, you know, we see some problems.
Right.
Because Hannah's parents come home and they're arguing about money. They're arguing about, you know, how are they going to keep their pharmacy open and keep it going. And Hannah decides that she wants to talk to them about going to that party.
Whether she should go to the party or not.
Now, did you catch it?
I did.
Did you catch the part where mom and dad walk in, they're arguing everything. She turns around mm-hmm. and mom is surprised.
Right.
Because mom had no idea that Hannah cut her hair.
Right. That was the first issue.
That was, it was like, wow. So Hannah's making a lot of these decisions. She's doing a lot of these things. And her parents have no yeah. idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So while we've had sort of this idea that the parents are involved mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. You know, connected with Hannah, we're starting to see that they're not as connected as we thought they were.
Right.
And so I don't know if that means that there is deteriorating, the relationship is deteriorating as mm-hmm. Hannah's going through this, or if it just wasn't as strong as it appeared initially.
Well, they moved to this town
mm-hmm.
to have this small pharmacy, the
right.
small business idea that he didn't want to be in a big, he wanted to be close and have a,
right.
you know. But the business, because independent pharmacies are competing against
right.
large pharmacies,
right.
It's a constant battle.
Right.
It's a constant struggle. So much of their attention and energy is about the business. Business and
right.
both mom and dad are involved in the business. They frequently argue about,
right.
debate things, discuss, argue about things, and so their attention is divided.
Right,
they obviously care about their daughter, but
right.
it's an only child.
Yeah,
and she's an older teenager, so now they can devote themselves to
right.
the store, but their daughter is struggling, and they're not fully aware of it.
And they miss it completely.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Even if they missed, I mean, not.
Because it wasn't like that they were.
She was shocked.
It wasn't like they were out of town.
No.
Or anything.
They're there.
They were there and did not know about her getting her hair cut. And then when she talks to them about going to the party, you know, Hannah, I think that Hannah was looking for her mom to say, no, don't go.
Oh, she wanted somebody to say no.
Right.
I've always told my kids, if you don't want to do something, just use me. You know,
right.
say, no, my dad doesn't allow me to go.
Right.
No, I'm on restriction.
Yeah.
I said, blame me.
Right.
And the kids can call me whatever they want, but I'm always a convenient excuse for you.
Right.
And that's what Hannah was looking for.
Yeah.
If her mother would have said no,
and her mom
she
was like,
gone.
Her mom was like, Hannah, go, don't go. I don't care what you do.
Because she didn't know that Hannah has these struggles.
Right. And then she turns and starts to talk to Dad about the money stuff again. Yeah. And Hannah's just standing there and just, you know, and all the dialogue about, or monologue really, about, you know, what would have happened if she had just never gone to that party.
Right.
Okay, so this, so we know, you know, in the stream of the story, we know that we're getting to the really critical stuff now.
Yeah, if she had never gone, these two events wouldn't have occurred.
Yeah. So it's the, as we're going through all of these different relationships for him, and again, remember we talked about, we started out this podcast talking about being invisible.
Right, right.
I think that we can argue from what we've seen that she feels invisible to her parents as well.
No, right.
And so who is there for her? We see some issues develop between her and Clay in the next episode. And so who is there for her? Who she is, this really idea of being invisible really is starting to take hold, not just with the people at school, but with her family
with
as well.
Family
so, so yeah, it's really, really getting bad for her. Now there's, as things go, of course, we know that Marcus and some of the other guys plant marijuana in Clay's backpack. That just made me mad. I was like,
I know.
It was crummy to do. And it, the way that is going to go back to code of conduct to me again. You have a kid.
That's what I was going to talk about.
Was it?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a kid who's never gotten in trouble before. Exemplary record is what they said. But you know what? We're going to suspend you for 3 days.
That's right.
Because we got testing. You know, do a drug test.
Right.
You can buy it at Hannah's parents' pharmacy.
The drug test.
Right.
Help out the family.
You know? You will find that there's nothing there.
It infuriated that's whatever you want to say about it. It happens all the time.
Right.
Kids get punished for breaking a rule when they should be receiving consequences that are appropriate. You know, the last kid in the school who would have had marijuana in his backpack is Clay. And everybody knows that. Everybody knows that this is the last kid in the school. Oh, the kids knew it.
Yeah.
They all knew it. You know, he wouldn't have had it in his back. I mean, that girl said, why didn't she? Why should he? This is not the kid. And then not only do you have this mindless discipline where these adults are lording over him, then you make him take a drug class that he doesn't need.
Right, right.
He's got to go to the police station to sign up for a drug class. For the one kid in the school who's not doing drugs.
Yeah, the one kid who of all of the kids here at the school isn't doing anything.
Right.
You know, and even at the beginning of this episode, you know, there's other students standing outside drinking alcohol before they go into the school building, and here
he's obviously opposed.
Yeah,
to it. Yeah.
And here they are, you know.
Yeah,
and blaming him and getting him going for or sending him to this juvie stuff.
Right.
So
yeah, it's a stupid, mindless discipline, and there are hundreds of examples of it of kids who the little boy in Maryland, I think he was kindergarten or maybe first or second grade, and he chewed a Pop Tart into the shape of a gun, and he got suspended.
Yes.
Other kids who have plastic knives in the trunk of their car. It's considered a weapon and they get suspended. And it's just this stupid, mindless discipline. And you mentioned earlier the code of conduct. And that's what the code of conduct is. If you break this rule, you get this punishment, no matter who you are. And many kids just don't deserve that.
Right.
And so they go to the police station. So he's been kicked out of school. He and his mother drive to the mother, who's an attorney.
That's right.
Irony
That's
of right. irony. Drives to the police station, and they're going to go in, and Clay then poses this hypothetical question.
Right.
Okay.
Now, which was a great hypothetical. You know, he did a good job of trying to, you know, ask his mom this information without saying what happened.
Right. And so he asks her this very hypothetical question, and he begins to unravel a little bit for the first time, you know, and when she asks him.
Yeah. Does this have anything to do with Hannah's death?
And then he, in a very sullen teenage way, shrugs his shoulders and walks away.
Yeah.
And she says,
you can't answer me with a shrug.
You can't answer me with a shrug. I think that's one of the classic lines in the movie. You know, we're just glad you're alive.
Right.
I put it with that. You can't answer me. And I thought, what a fabulous line for parents.
Right.
You know, don't answer me with a shrug.
Yeah.
We need to talk.
Just tell me.
Tell
and,
me.
And again, she did the same thing that she and Clay's dad tend to do. And that is, give him space.
Give him space.
You know, you can't ask me with a shrug. Just mm-hmm. give me something. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to pound you. I'm not going to come down on you. I'm not going to punish you. Mm-hmm. Just talk to me.
That's right. That's right.
And then of course, it's all around this time that Clay starts opening up a little bit.
And she didn't say, you can't answer me with a shrug. You're being disrespectful.
Right.
You can't answer because I care about you.
Right.
You know, what a huge difference. What a different right. message. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what they're consistently doing with him.
Yeah.
Is he's made to feel that he matters.
Right.
You know, not that he's being disrespectful.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful, wonderful sequence. Yeah. And again, I want to go back to, you know, something that Clay says.
Yeah.
Because, and we will just spend a couple minutes on this. He said, he's talking to her and he goes, I did know her. You know, we worked a lot. We were good friends.
Right.
And then he says, I didn't know how empty it would feel.
Yeah, this is obviously his first experience with death. You know, the finality of death.
And that's a beautiful
thing.
That's a
powerful scene. That's a good scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know how empty it would feel. And so I think that the thing I really wanted to emphasize with that is the, we often attempt to, well, let me start out this way. In the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, mm-hmm. if a person is experiencing depression as a result of bereavement because somebody passed away, you don't diagnose them with depression mm-hmm. unless the depression lasts for 2 months long, 2 months after the incident, the mm-hmm. event. Okay. That caveat mm-hmm. with the diagnosis frustrates me so badly because of exactly this reason right here.
Right.
I didn't know how empty it would feel. Mm-hmm. And you don't know. You know, we look at these situations that our kids or we find ourselves in, and it is so frustrating
right.
when people say, just get over it.
Over
it was like 3 months ago.
Right.
Why are you still depressed? And why are you still thinking about it? And why are you still going on and on and on about
right.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Move on.
Right.
And you, it's not that easy.
No. I often talk about our Jewish brethren. They have a whole year.
Right.
They sit Shiva
yep.
for a whole year
mm-hmm.
because they know that it takes time.
Right.
You know, so take your time and get over
yeah.
it.
Right? Yeah.
Take the time that you need.
And it was just, you could, and these are sort of like hats off to the actors.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that plays Clay, you could see the feeling
mm-hmm. right.
when he said it, because it, you know that it would hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it, how bad it is, how right. how much it hurts.
Yeah, he's really hurting now.
He did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Noreen says that, you know, that's what you call complicated grief. That is a very complicated mm-hmm. grief
yeah.
because he hasn't been able to resolve it.
No.
Because of all this other stuff going on.
Well, there's so many other
yeah.
undercurrents that he's mm-hmm. having trouble getting through the phases of the
right.
grief process.
Right.
So he keeps going back and forth. And you can see him.
Mm-hmm.
Denial, anger, starts to move toward resolution.
Right.
And then he goes back to denial. Then he goes back to
exactly.
anger.
And, you know, exactly.
He's expressing all those phases of the grief process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the last thing we're going to talk about with this episode is Justin.
Yes. Well, this is about Justin.
The whole thing is about Justin.
We haven't even mentioned him, but we haven't talked about him yet.
Yeah, you know, he gets into this discussion with Clay because of that hypothetical mm-hmm. that Clay asks his mom.
Right.
He says, look, Justin, I can't go to it wouldn't matter if I go to the police anyways because nobody can prosecute.
Right.
And of course, what Clay's talking about is the assault.
The assault.
The sexual assault that happened at the party that mm-hmm. Hannah witnessed.
Right.
She felt that she should have stopped. She couldn't stop. And mm-hmm. so she talks about how two people failed. This was for
That's
Jessica
right.
mm-hmm. That night. And I think, you know, Justin's angry.
Right.
And I think that, you know, he says something horrible. You know, she killed herself for attention.
Right.
What a horrible thing to say.
That was bad.
But, you know, the sense that I get, and I think that you got this too, because we were chit-chatting a little bit about this one before we started the podcast. We start to see something different in Justin now.
Right.
Now we're starting to understand why he is the way that he is, and
right.
the way that he has been throughout this this right. series of shows, because of what happened that night.
That's right.
He allowed that to happen.
Because he was on the other side. Hannah was inside.
Right.
And he was outside.
Right.
So.
Knowing what was happening.
Knowing what was going on.
And feeling or acting or being powerless to do anything
mm-hmm.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing not to take any steps.
Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
He and Hannah were frozen
right.
with indecision.
Right.
Complicated feelings.
Yeah.
But the results were catastrophic.
Right.
For many of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we see that duo of Justin and Jessica,
right.
how they have just really spiraled
right.
out of control
mm-hmm.
over the first 8 episodes.
Right.
Now we're really starting to see why.
Now you understand why. And the other thing that happens with Justin is for the first time you see another side of him.
Right.
Okay. In this
mm-hmm.
In this episode, is it he becomes a little more complicated.
Right.
There are other sides of him. We knew that he was struggling with his home life
mm-hmm.
because he's living in that terrible
right.
situation.
Yeah.
Now you see another side of him you see some guilt and you see remorse and you see concern that never appeared before. And
right.
suddenly you soften a little bit for
yeah.
him. You know, you don't despicable character
yeah.
until this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's,
and this battle that he's had with Clay
yeah.
suddenly begins to change.
Right.
And I think you had a note up there about,
mm-hmm.
I did it for her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He was saying it for Jessica.
Right.
You know, to protect her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, no, I didn't have it on the slide. That was in my notes.
Yeah.
We were talking about it. Yeah. Because he was trying to say, you know, I'm not saying anything because of what it will do to her.
That's right. She has to go through it again.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We have to drag everybody through.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, who's, you know, and we have to drag everybody through this
right.
again. So even though he was racked with guilt and remorse for not doing something,
mm-hmm.
he was saying, I'm doing this for her
right.
to protect her.
And it's even worse for him.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamics are just incredible.
Had Hannah survived, she would have been the witness that he needed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's...
That he needed, but didn't want.
But didn't want. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would not... Because he... You know, I think that he has this relationship with Blake that he just doesn't...
With Bryce?
Who?
Justin
uh-huh.
has a relationship with...
Do you know who... I know you haven't watched ahead yet. Did I just give it
okay.
away who did it?
Go ahead. No.
All right. It is Bryce. My bad. Did that say Blake? Okay, yes, it's
Bryce.
It's Bryce. It's Alex.
Long day.
It is a long day. Luckily, that wasn't a patient name. That would have been
right.
uncomfortable.
It's an elementary school.
That is an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now we're off track. Oh, here we go. So, anything else from that episode?
Put
your glasses on and see if you see anything else.
Oh, it sucks to be held accountable.
Yeah, we said that.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Ryan.
And then, parents, parties have a weird magic. And they do.
Right.
It's an alternative universe
mm-hmm.
where anything is possible.
Right.
That's how she entered
That's
the
how
party.
She, yeah.
And it's true. This is how kids talk about my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Teenagers talk about parties.
Mm-hmm.
Something very different, something magical
yeah.
happens at parties. Little did she know.
Right.
But she's true. That's why the parties are
yeah.
what these kids look forward to.
Yeah. News. Yeah.
they
make me nervous.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
They're so dangerous. I mean, it's so dangerous at these parties. And you can see why.
It's dangerous, but oftentimes it's a necessary experience.
It's you. That's where you learn.
Think about if we lived out in the Savannah.
Right.
At some point, your 15-year-old is going to have to leave the tribe to go catch his first,
right.
You know,
that's
kill his first lion or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. It's anxiety provoking.
Right.
But at some point they've got to do it.
Right. They have to do it. But you can see it's fueled with alcohol right. and drug. And so you lose inhibition and there's sex and there's, you know, mm-hmm. alcohol and that very dangerous mix of teenagers who don't have much inhibition anyway. Mm-hmm. And you throw them all together and bad things happen.
Right, right.
But they are magical. They're magical. It's an alternative universe. I can be whoever I want.
It's like work.
Right. Yeah. But I like this because Justin becomes multidimensional
right.
for the first time.
Right.
It's more complex than we realize.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's turn the tape over.
Turn it over to side B.
To side B. And now we're going to talk about Sherry.
Sherry.
Now, you said to me, not 2 minutes before we hit start on this podcast, that this is your favorite episode.
This was my favorite episode to date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why?
I think because, I don't know.
You just liked it. It has.
I think because some of the characters got fleshed out
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Things are starting to come together. And I think I began to realize how truly important the issues are.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. I thought they were just teenage things
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and relationships and relational aggression and kids getting beaten up and getting into fights and everything. It's far more than that.
Right.
These kids are struggling with far more issues.
We have our first death.
That's right.
In this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had forgotten about him.
And what I think is interesting is if we go back to a previous episode. When we find out that Tony went to Hannah's house and after she was and this was the rock climbing episode.
Right.
Tony says, "Have you ever been to a crime scene?"
Right.
Clay says, "No." And Tony talks to him about, you know, being at Hannah's. Oh my gosh, Tony, how old were you? And he says, 17. He's like, whoa, so, you know, what was it? Oh, it was a suicide. And he puts it together that it was, here we have information that Clay
was at a crime
scene. But maybe he didn't consider it a crime scene.
He didn't know.
But he certainly saw mm-hmm. a person who had been killed
right.
In that accident. Mm-hmm. And it just like breaks your heart. And it's probably this that contributes to why it's so difficult for him to get past Hannah as well, because he really liked Jeff.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He really liked Jeff. You know, right. I mean, when you think about the number of times Jeff is sort of like a Sherry character. He mm-hmm. is just sort of behind the scenes.
He was.
And, yeah. and you know, but Clay will mention him every once in a while. Well, Jeff told me I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeff made him do the Valentine's
right.
dollar mm-hmm. Valentine's thing, you know, and so, you know, Jeff had this
right.
backseat role mm-hmm. in a lot of the things that Clay was doing to really try to build a relationship with Hannah.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it was, you know, even before, you know, Jeff, the car accident, you know, Jeff was telling, Clay, go back in there.
Right.
Go back and talk to her.
Go back.
It looked like you were going up, going well.
Go, right.
You know, he goes, I know these things. I know these things. So.
Well, he was an upperclassman.
Right.
He was older than Clay.
Right.
Know,
so. Yeah. So one of the things, you know, again, in our opening monologue with this, when Hannah makes that statement, when you do something wrong, you can't just ignore it.
Right.
And I think that is really good, because you made a really good point as we were looking at this slide. You said one of the recurring sort of tendencies that we see with some of the characters in the show is that they're wanting to sort of do whatever they want to do, but completely avoid any of the accountability or consequences or right. anything that goes
in
along with
typical
it.
Teenage fashion.
Right.
They want to live on the edge. They want to push the envelope.
Right.
They want to drink and drive and make love with it. They want to do all these things. Little thought to what could happen.
Right.
And when bad things do happen, they each find ways to avoid
mm-hmm.
the responsibility.
Right.
Okay.
And this goes back to even the episode when Alex was speeding.
That's right.
And going really fast, and he gets mm-hmm. pulled over, but it's his dad.
It's his dad. Right.
And so, and then what does Justin say in that scene? We're untouchable.
We're untouchable. Right.
We're untouchable. Nothing. And so we have that recurring theme here. But as you said, that is a very teenage,
it's a very teenage
perspective.
Thing. That's right. They don't. They think they're going to live forever. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I can drink a little bit and drive. I can cram for the test. I can copy somebody's homework. I can cheat on that. You know, they just don't think about consequences.
Right.
It doesn't, it's just built into their brains.
Yeah.
They don't think about consequences. The sad part is when it does occur, when they do get an undesirable consequence, then they want to avoid it.
Right.
And
right.
And they seek to avoid the consequence.
And
I mean, again, it's
like
typical.
We saw with Alex, when they do avoid it, it only increases the likelihood that those poor choices and bad behaviors are going to recur.
They recur.
Yeah. Because they're going to, you know, how many times have those students been at a party drinking mm-hmm. and then drove home? Everything was fine.
Everything's fine.
So they say, you know, Jeff, you know, mm-hmm. He says, 2 beers 2 hours ago, I'm fine.
Right.
Sherry, you know, I've only had a couple, but look.
Right.
And then she
I
does
do
a handstand.
Wheel.
Yeah. No. And it's like, if I can do that, I can drive a car.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know,
because
driving a car is just like,
this is like doing a
handstand.
Right, or a handstand. And that's right, because that's how their brains work.
Yeah.
You know, it's an accurate depiction of how teenagers think.
Absolutely. So being held accountable is huge. And we did get a little bit, like you said, of that in the previous episode with Ryan talking to Mr. Porter, and he says, sucks to be held accountable, doesn't it?
Sucks to be held accountable.
And, you know, that is sort of a prelude to something we're going to see later on
exactly.
in a future episode. So
yep.
I think maybe the best psychological principle mm-hmm. that came out of this episode is when Alex was talking to Clay about being mad and sad at mm-hmm. the same time.
Right. Yeah.
I really, really, really,
yep.
really like that.
Yeah, that's that complex grief that Noreen mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, when you're thinking about being mad and sad.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I think that I didn't get his exact quote down. But he said something to the effect of, when you're only mad, you look back at it right. later and you think, man, that was really a bad thing, sad thing mm-hmm. that happened. And you don't get to fully process.
Right.
And it's absolutely something that Clay's going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's only experiencing one of these emotions at a time. There's times when he's very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
There's times when he's very, very angry.
Right.
But he's not pulling those emotions mm-hmm. together.
Right.
To really experience what's going on and do something about it.
Right. That's right.
And we're going to talk about, well, in planning for next week's podcasts,
mm-hmm.
we're going to spend all week next week talking about emotions.
Are we?
Well, we are now. So
that's good to know.
But
well, I guess my weekend is taken care of.
So we're going to talk about emotions because emotions are extremely complex. And we have this idea that you only experience one emotion at a time.
Right.
And that's
not
at all true.
Right.
Noreen just typed what I was about to say.
Thank you, Noreen.
Noreen. So we're going to talk about the movie Inside Out.
Right.
Because that movie really illustrates that extremely well.
I have to watch it.
Even though it's animated. See, this is what I love about this is that I'll throw these things out there and it makes him have to watch movies that the rest of the world has watched.
That he otherwise wouldn't watch.
That's right. We watched it like 15 years ago. Not 15 years ago.
3 years ago.
Maybe 3 years ago. But it was good. It was really good. It's a really good
psychological.
Good, yeah. Yeah, it really is. And it... Oh, it's fantastic. It's a fantastic tool for working with
mm-hmm.
kids
right.
because you can talk to them about, you know, let's talk about how you really feel with this. So
mm-hmm.
it's great stuff.
Okay.
So now moving on to the next thing, you know, Clay was angry at Hannah because he, you know, Jeff died. And, you know, he's like, Hannah's just, she's just making it up. Why does it always have to just be about you?
Right.
And
she's trying to tell him.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Because she knew.
Yeah.
And but he mistook that.
Right.
For she's just grieving And she's making it about her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here she is once again making it about her.
Right.
And so we start to see that shift. And of course, that's going to give us a prelude to mm-hmm. next episode.
Right.
But the last big point here is
the next to the last.
The next, the penultimate. What?
Oh, bingo.
I had the slide up so nobody could see the knuckle bump there. But yeah, the penultimate point here is that, as Sherry says, it's my secret, not yours.
She's talking to
Clay.
Right.
And what is really good about that is we have our secrets.
Right.
And just this kind of echoes back to Ryan. Ryan and Hannah, you know, mm-hmm. Hannah writes this poem. Right. She's like, no, it's mine. Mm-hmm. And he's like, everybody, one day you're going to look back at this and you're going to see that I was right. Mm-hmm. Sherry's saying, this is my secret. I'm taking care of this. And of all of the people that's on the tape so far, mm-hmm. she's really the only one who is doing something to be accountable for her role right. in anything that had to do with any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she's like, this is my secret. You don't tell me how to deal with my secret, my right. problems, my right. issues. And I think that's really important that parents need to know about their kids as well.
Right.
You know, you're not going to solve all of your kids' problems. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this sad fact is your kid's not going to do everything that you say to do just because right. you say this is going to solve your problem.
Because as we've said throughout the series, who has had the best parent-child relationship?
Right.
Clay and his parents. Mm-hmm. And even he doesn't tell them everything.
Right.
Mother has to jerk it out of him.
Right.
She has to keep pleading and begging and cajoling to mm-hmm. get it out of him.
And even
they
standing,
have the best,
standing outside, the,
outside
police station,
the police station.
And he's like, I got to go. And she's like, no, don't go. And right. he leaves.
Right. That's right.
Right. So mm-hmm. even their strong relationship.
That's right.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. It's not that kids lie, but teenagers become more private mm-hmm. and they don't want to divulge everything. They
right.
want to keep some things to themselves.
Right.
Right. And it's a normal part of the adolescent growth period.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's that's normal. So
it is.
Mm-hmm. Don't fight it and don't punish
no,
it. And don't
just because your kids don't, they're not going to tell you everything, but they're not supposed to tell you everything.
Right.
You know, there are things that they should be allowed. That's why you don't read their diaries.
Right.
You know, yeah. Those are private things.
Yeah.
And you don't read their diaries yeah. unless you are extraordinarily concerned. You don't do it just to see who they're dating or who they're yeah. going out with.
You don't?
No. You All better right. not.
What about your wife's diary? My wife doesn't keep a diary.
Doesn't keep a diary?
No.
Mine doesn't either.
I looked, but she doesn't keep my
check.
Now, this episode Finally. Ends with it is so sad because, you know, he Tony and Clay are sitting at the park and Tony walks up and says, I'll stay with you. And he goes, you don't have to. And he goes, I think I do. It's your tape. And you can see that the terror mm-hmm. across Clay's face.
Right.
And, Clay had to ask him a number of times and in a couple of different ways, but he's basically says, you know, knowing what you know, knowing with everything that you know now, from listening to the tapes and everything, did I kill Hannah Baker? And Tony says,
tried
yeah. He tried to avoid
tried
it.
Tried not to answer.
But then Tony says, yes. And then this episode
and
ends.
It ends.
You know, what are they trying to do to us? What are they trying to do to us?
We know.
I mean, I know what's next.
I
don't know
what's
next.
No.
But that is a...
Clay has been worried about that throughout.
Yes.
You can see his yeah. anxiety.
Because he has no idea what he possibly did.
Right.
That would have contributed.
But he's so terrified that he may have done something. Remember, he said to his mother, what if it was my fault?
Right. What if I was the bully?
What if I was the bully?
And all along the way, you know, and I think that it was maybe this episode or the mm-hmm. one just before with Justin, he even says, we're really getting to some serious stuff. Mm-hmm. We're getting into criminal acts. We're getting right. into rapes. We're, you know.
Surely
what did I do that would match with this? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he says, knowing what you know, did I kill Hannah Baker? And he says, yes. Mm-hmm. And you just, everything is deflated. Yeah. It's like,
His worst suspicion nightmare. Just got confirmed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it really leaves us on the ledge, now so what? To speak. Mm-hmm. For
we'll be sure to watch the next episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you want to go out watch it?
I did. I had to start working this morning, but I wanted to keep it on.
Yeah.
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 It was
yeah.
the most compelling. Maybe that's why I like this episode, because it this was the episode. That's what it was. This was the episode that really drew me in. Mm-hmm. Before I could say, okay, I've watched those two, I can move on. The Sherry episode was the one that really
hooked you.
Pulled me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I liked about it, because I thought, this is really compelling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got 3 episodes left. And so with the last 3 episodes, we have...
5, 6, and 7.
We have episodes mm-hmm. 11... 12 and 13. Right. So tape mm-hmm. 6 and tape 7. And so we have 3 more people left. Right. Well,
we have Clay, mm-hmm. Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
Does Bryce have a side?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Hannah?
Nope.
No?
Oh.
Oh, the photographer.
Nope. He was earlier.
Was he earlier?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah. Remember they were at the outside of his window and everything? He doesn't know. It's going to be great. So this next episode, these next 2 episodes, next week is going to be an intense conversation. Most of these podcasts last right about an hour, just mm-hmm. under an hour. Next week, mark your calendar.
Bring a pizza.
That'd be great. Gluten-free though. But it's going to be, these are fantastic episodes.
All right.
Oh, man.
Longer, you mean?
It may be a little bit longer.
All right.
Because there's a lot to talk about
okay.
in those 2 episodes.
I'll be here.
So, yeah, that's it. So,
okay.
All right. So let's get our little closing slide up just so that we can see where we are, what we're doing. And here we go. All right. So we have episode or tape 6. Is next week on the 15th at 6:30, so next Thursday. And you know what? I didn't change the slide, but we're going to do tape 7. I'll have it up next time, but it should be the 22nd.
Okay.
Either 21st or 22nd. I can't remember which one, if we're going to do Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
Maybe that's why it's
we'll
not there yet. But yeah, we'll have that up and available for you guys next time.
Okay.
But this is the important one here. Tape 6. Silence and assault.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't even know what that means, Richard. So it's going to be great.
Okay.
It's going to be exciting.
All right.
It's going to be emotional. Don't be surprised if you get emotional while you're watching it. Mad and sad at the same time. It's going to happen to you next with the next 2 episodes. He looks worried.
Okay.
Are you worried?
I'm not. No.
No.
Well.
A little bit anxious.
It's an emotional experience.
It is. It is.
I mean,
this is why we said at the beginning that, you know, when you have, you know, 11, 12, maybe even some 13 or 14 year olds watching this by themselves, this is some pretty intense, not because they show anything really.
Right. That's right. The rape scene that was in this past right. episode. It wasn't that graphic.
Right.
I mean, you
had cutaways, you had some sound.
You knew what was happening,
yeah.
but the room was dark, and, you know, it wasn't explicit. It wasn't R-rated. But for a very young teen, 11, 12, 13, they may not fully appreciate
right.
everything that was going on. I mean, this whole grief right. process and the legality of stuff. But you get into that 15, 16, they're experiencing this stuff.
Right.
They're closer to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's great stuff.
And it gets pretty intense.
And the parents, it's great stuff from the perspective of what you can do with it. Like what
right.
our conversation mm-hmm. has been. And, you know, you can, if you really think about what's happening,
right.
But you have to be, you know, a lot of people are going to need some of that type of mm-hmm. direction.
That's right.
This is what that means. This
right.
is, you know,
it's a great it's a great vehicle.
This is why when Justin says she killed herself for attention, mm-hmm. you know, this is why he's saying.
Right.
This mm-hmm. is why he's wrong, and it's right. not what you think he's right. trying to say.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. All right.
Good.
All right. Well, that is it. Thank you all. Those of you who were able to join us, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in.
If you get the chance, reach out to your friends. And I was gonna do that. Friends, Romans, and country.
I was gonna fill in for you.
I was gonna say that.
I'll leave that but, one alone. Your friends, your Romans, and your country.
I don't even know why that came to my mind.
Because it's been a very long day.
It has been. Yeah. But talk to your friends. Have them join us next time. Mm-hmm. Because next time it's going to be a really good
worth
conversation.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
And so get your friends to join us 6:30 next Thursday night.
Right.
And on the 18th or 15th, sorry, the 15th. And we will be here to talk about the next two episodes. Okay. Tape 6.
All right.
Episodes 11 and 12.
I'll be ready, coach.
It's going to be great.
Okay.
So until then, stay happy, stay healthy. Forget to be afraid.